Experts at a global club of advanced economies think world output could benefit from some proposed Donald Trump policies. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, has revised its global economic forecast, and things are looking up. Now, it's predicting 3.3% global growth for next year. That's up from 2.9% this year. These OECD folks are pleased about some stimulus under soon-to-be-President Trump. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here live with more. Lewis, what's the calculation?
Global growth has been lethargic, and a lot of economists have been concerned about getting out of that pattern. And of course, governments around the world have been balancing the idea of stimulus with a political push towards austerity, especially in Europe. So the OECD, which analyzes the world's most advanced economies, is now saying a little stimulus could be good. And Donald Trump is not an austerity guy. He's proposed $1 trillion in spending on infrastructure, nor is he worried about national debts in the same way the Republican Party has been for quite some time. He wants to cut taxes and raise spending.
All right. Now, the strategy, at least with these tax cuts, is that economic growth might help to make up the difference. But what about this infrastructure plan? What's the fine print?
Well, like a lot of things Donald Trump, there's not necessarily fine print right now. His website talks about public-private partnerships and, quote, supporting investment in infrastructure. And he's talked about doing that through tax breaks, which some say won't address the most urgent infrastructure needs the way direct government spending would. But also the political will situation could be really different for him than it has been for President Obama, who has also supported the idea of infrastructure investments. Republicans have been really resistant to new spending, even though infrastructure tends to be popular. Trump told the New York Times last week, talking about the Republicans on Capitol Hill, "Right now they're in love with me, okay?" We'll see how that love affair plays out when he gives more detail on his plan.
All right, Lewis, thank you. Let's check the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.3% range. Now, if you think of college student in the abstract, you might not picture someone who's over 25, working, or has a family. A new study finds that about 70% of people working on a bachelor's degree are non-traditional students, and colleges better adjust. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
It's hard enough going to college when that's all you're doing, says Carl McDonnell. He's CEO of Strayer Education, which owns for-profit colleges and produced the study with U.S. News and World Report.
Most of these students into their 30s have families with children. Most of them are working full-time, and so they have to figure out when to fit all of this in.
The survey found these students prioritize affordability and flexibility. Danifu Elston with the advocacy group Complete College America says one thing colleges can do to help students succeed is create more predictable schedules.
So that they're not from semester to semester constantly trying to negotiate between childcare and their employer and what that schedule is going to look like.
He says colleges should also make sure students understand the costs if they don't graduate on time. Another recent study found that only a third of adult learners going back to school earned a degree 6 to 8 years later. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
This season on Codebreaker, we have a new big question that we are asking about one kind of technology in every episode. The question, can it save us? Listen, decode, and decide. You can subscribe now on iTunes.
When President-elect Donald Trump was campaigning, Britain's surprise vote to leave the European Union against the wishes of the establishment there ran as a leitmotif here. As candidate Trump promised to make America great again, he repeatedly invoked the spirit of Brexit there. But are these equivalent? From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
This is going to be Brexit.
I think it's going to be Brexit.
It'll be called
Brexit.
For Trump, during the campaign, the word Brexit was a battle cry. And after the Republican had won, leading Leave campaigner Nigel Farage was jubilant over the twin victories.
The political revolution of 2016 is that in two massive campaigns, the underdogs beat the establishment. We did it in Brexit, and Trump did it in the USA.
The two stunning electoral upsets do have much in common. Both were a vote against mass immigration. Both were a slap in the face for liberal elites. And, says Michael Gove, another leading Brexiter, both were fuelled by the same economic disgruntlement.
In the same way as working-class voters voted to leave the European Union, and these same working-class voters in places like Wisconsin and Michigan, same in the sense of their precarious economic situation in which they found themselves, these same people felt that it was worth voting for change.
But there the similarities end. Unlike on the Trump campaign trail, there was no protectionist rhetoric from the Leave side in the referendum. Far from it, says Kate Andrews of the Institute of Economic Affairs.
If you were on the Leave side, you were saying this is an opportunity to be even more globalistic, to look at our relationships with countries that aren't in the EU, and to have free trade deals with them.
They may have been voting to leave a free trade bloc, but she says that's because they felt the EU has turned into a political union, eroding British control over British affairs.
Their major issue was not trade, wasn't even immigration, it was sovereignty. The British people just felt like the EU was getting too powerful.
Many Brexiters draw some hope from Trump's victory. They feel a free trade deal between the US and Britain is now a distinct possibility, and that would make Brexit far more likely to succeed. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Your washer and your dryer, kind of like your cat, occasional bursts of activity, but generally they sit around inert. You might see this as saving electricity, natural gas, water, but others see a business opportunity. Electrolux, the appliance maker in Sweden, is reportedly working on a kind of Uber for laundry, shared machines, perhaps coordinated through an app. According to the Financial Times, Uber for laundry is in the conceptual phase, and as can happen with laundry, there can be wrinkles. What about quality control? What if a person's clothes come back from the shared laundry with the sweater shrunk two sizes and the underwear three shades of blue? Around the world, sales of Electrolux appliances have lacked luster in recent years, and the company's trying some new thinking. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.